Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024, 11 minutes past the hour. The guest this morning, Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis, and we're so glad that she came back after and I always want to mention the time on this, 3 hour and 25 minute city council meeting last night that we both were at, but we both made it here this morning, so that's the happy ending to that particular story. Now, there was one other thing I wanted to bring up last night. Now, I brought this up, I know, in hour number one, that there was a new position created, budget management. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she's in that position.
Yes.
Okay. So last night there was this question about how is she being paid. We talked about that in hour number one. And one of the audience members stood up at one point and said, well, why don't we ask the lady who's in charge of the budget where it is coming from in the budget? Is this a far-off thing to ask? In the beginning, I was kind of laughed at, but then it seemed as though maybe, well, might be a good question.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a far-off question for her to ask or for them to ask because, you know, to that point, the director of budget management, who's supposed to be managing the budget, should understand where things are coming from. Now I was able to locate the information and pinpoint where it came from, but at the same time, I think it's a fair question.
Now, what does she do at this point, and what do you do?
So she has been so far going through our positions, all the positions within the city, verifying where those are being paid from, how much they're going to be budgeted for, and that kind of thing. I know she's actually on vacation this week, so I'm not sure what she'll be doing when she gets back, but I know she's been working on building a couple different spreadsheets and kind of getting the positions under control to figure out exactly where those are going to be. As Ms. Lang pointed out last night, I know she's been kind of working with Twyla on the actual budget itself. She's asked my office for some documentation for what we've done with our tax budget and things like that, because our tax budget, which goes to the county usually in July, is basically proving our actual budget. So she's gotten copies of tax budget, and that's I think mostly what I've had dealings with her on so far, but that's about it.
And correct me if I'm wrong here. This position was something Mayor Collins wanted. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding that this was a position that was supposed to help solve the economic problems in Marion. Mm-hmm. Because this person would have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that's happening?
I do believe that she fits that bill for sure. She's had a lot of years of experience in school districts. I believe she has history in Franklin County as well as one other county that I can't recall at the moment. And she's also worked with Tyler Technologies Products, which is great because that's the software company that we use. So she's got a lot of knowledge that kind of all wraps her up into this pretty little package that's going to help us get everything figured out.
And you work with her well.
Yeah.
Now, one of the big questions that came up, I think it happened in January, because I want to go back to this, because a lot of people have called in and asked about this, and you know, I know the meeting's on tape somewhere, but there was a meeting in which I believe, and I want to make sure I have this right, that I believe it was Jason Schauber, because I believe it was the meeting that he left early. It was the whole committee meeting.
Okay.
That he left early. And the next day, there was an accusation that you had misappropriated funds and that in that meeting, you had admitted to misappropriating funds.
Was this for the tax issue?
I believe so. Because okay. I know he sent out a press release, and I can try to find it here, so I have it right. But I know he put out a press release the next day talking about this. But let's see here if I can find this press release. But I... that you had said something in the meeting that, yeah, here it is. This would have been January 22nd, so I'm guessing it was the meeting on January 22nd. This is what Jason wrote. He said, never in my 13-plus years on council have committee assignments been reconsidered after a unanimous vote of council. It appears there were sunshine law violations by Mr. Neff, Mr. Lang, Mr. Pollock, Mr. Smith, Mr. Prater, and Mr. Barr. These individuals are on the record admitting to violating open meeting laws. I will not be a part of any backroom deals that put a political party over what is doing best for the city. Tonight, the auditor admitted to a misappropriation of funds as well as coding the expense in a way that would hide the payment of an IRS penalty. Not one member of the council said anything. The evidence is clear what she did, nothing but silence. We would have dealt with the auditor immediately, but this council just wanted to play political games by removing myself and Mr. Ratliff from Legislation and Codes Committee with no explanation. The majority of council members made it very clear tonight they have no clue how to legislate or what to do, or what is best to do for the city of Marion. That's Jason Schauber, city councilman. But again, that's back on, don't want to open up old wounds for those people, but that's back on January 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember that moment?
Yes.
Okay. What happened? Because we haven't heard from you since then, haven't had a chance to talk with you. What happened in that moment?
So back in December, and this is kind of, it's a ways away, but back in December, we had a meeting with an internal revenue service revenue officer. So we went and drove to Independence, Ohio. I'm trying to recall all this information. I'm sorry. We drove to Independence, Ohio, sat down with our revenue officer, went over all the penalties we'd had assessed at that point, and he had mentioned that there was a quarter three penalty coming that we hadn't received notice of yet. So this was roundabout, I want to say, December 4th that we had that meeting. It was a Thursday. We drove back. We asked if we could have about a week to figure out what was going on, because we would have had to ask for appropriation, get the approval of council to actually write the check before we could do anything. So when we came back the following Monday, the appropriation got approved. That Wednesday, we actually had a call with that revenue officer, and he gave us the payoff for what would have been those penalties. Now, the difference between the letter that we received from the revenue officer and the payoff amount was about $6,000. At that point, and I remember looking at it and trying to figure out, I was like, why is this so much higher? And at that point, it was myself, Deputy Auditor Martin Watson, Internal Auditor Chelsea Toronto. We were all kind of sitting in a meeting together trying to figure out what was going on. And at that point, we had figured, okay, it must be interest for what was going on. I'll be completely honest, I'd forgotten about that third quarter penalty because we still hadn't gotten a notice for it yet. So when it was put into the system, it was coded as interest on the penalties that we'd received before. So we wrote the check, we sent it off to the IRS, everything was fine. I think it was actually later that day, after the check had been mailed, that we actually received the notice for that penalty for the third quarter of 2023, and it totaled up to be around $6,600. At that point, I realized, well, that must have been what that payoff was for, and it just didn't get changed in the system.
So when the misappropriation of funds accusation comes up, was it that?
Was it misappropriation?
Yeah.
No.
No. So when people say that you admitted to it happening in the meeting, what would you say to that?
I mean, once we realized what it did, yes, that bill got paid. So yes, the bill did get paid. That might be what he's referring to as me admitting to misappropriation. Because yes, that bill did get paid. Did I know that bill got paid at the moment? No, but okay. It did get paid.
Now, we do know for whatever reasons that this moment in time on January 22nd did get turned over for investigation.
Right.
And I believe is still at Ray Grogan's office, the prosecutor's office. He's been on the program to say that it is under investigation and we should hear something within 30 days. What are you aware of at this point in regard to that?
I'm aware of the investigation. I've been interviewed for it, had some questions asked, that kind of thing. But that was about it, really. I knew that it had been sent to the prosecutor's office, and I haven't heard anything else.
Now, was it the prosecutor's office who came over and interviewed you?
No, it was one of our police officers.
Police officers. So when you hear this, because this is a big thing, I think, for anybody to have the prosecutor investigating them over whatever issue, how do you feel about this whole situation?
I mean, it's not a great feeling. I'm not enjoying it. I think it's definitely a first, I can tell you that. I think I haven't had anybody really ask me that question yet, so I'm kind of stumped. But it's not great. I feel like, honestly, they're doing everything that they possibly can to get me out of office. Is my first initial response, honestly. And with as frustrated as they've been over the last 2 years, I can understand it. So I can see why they're frustrated. I can see why they're doing it. But at the same time, I really just wish that they would leave me alone so that I can do the job that I was put there to do.
Now, when you say they, who in general are you referring to? They want you out of office.
Oh, I'm sorry. Council.
Council. Yeah. The whole council. Do you feel like you have any friends on council at this point? Anybody who's sympathetic?
I do and I don't. At times I do, at other times I don't. So it really just depends on how people are feeling. I mean, human emotion kind of does play a big part into it. So I try not to take things too personally. But at the same time, when it's vote of no confidence after vote of no confidence after investigation after, I mean, how do you not take things personally at some point?
How do you work with people for, again, whoever's right and who's wrong? Where these issues keep coming up. How do you continue to work with those people?
You just have to. I mean, and that's the biggest thing. Regardless of how they feel about me or I feel about them, at the end of the day, we have to do something together because we're working for the betterment of the city as a whole. It shouldn't be about what one person wants over what someone else wants. It's whether or not we can get to a solution that works for the entire city.
What do you feel they would like to see happen? If they could have their way, what would they like to see happen?
Oh, I think they'd want me out.
Now, because somebody else could do it better? Is that the theory?
That's my theory, yeah.
Now, do you believe somebody else could do it better? You work in that office. Is it just such a mess that anybody walking in, even if they had all kinds of degrees and all kinds of experience, are they going to be able to walk in and just fix this thing within a few months?
I don't think so. I think that it's 10 times better now than it was when I first came in. So I think if I were to leave now, it'd be a little bit easier than if, you know, somebody walked in 2 years ago when I did. But at the same time, I still think there'd be hiccups, there'd be bumps, there'd be learning curves. It's because it's especially when you go from private sector work to government work, there's a learning curve there in and of itself, let alone all the issues we've had.
It's very interesting that it has gotten to the prosecutor's office, and I guess we'll hear from him at some point in the next few. I don't think it'll be 30 days anymore because he was on a couple weeks ago. But does that make you nervous that something's going to come down one day?
Oh yeah, it terrifies me.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that'd be a terrifying situation to be in.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and I've said that before. Is that, you know, when situations like this happen, I don't want to say situations like this because this is a new situation, but when you have so many cards stacked against you, you're kind of afraid to walk out of your house in the morning. So it's now I'm not like afraid for my life or anything, but at the same time, to have to constantly deal with the battle of going through everybody to get to where we need to be, it's exhausting.
Now, it's my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong on this, that the difference between this particular incident and being votes of no confidence by counsel and things of that nature is that, coming from the prosecutor's office, that this could be considered a crime if he should choose to do something.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Again, not great, because this is not something I've dealt with in my lifetime. So to have these accusations go out, as well as to have them with the prosecutor, like to potentially have that label next to my name, like what am I going to be able to do for the rest of my life if I have that on there? Like my entire career at this point has been financial. I'm not going to have a career after that. So it's a scary feeling to have to constantly be thinking about what's going on in the back of my mind.
So at this point, as we just wait on what will happen here, what do you think the best and worst case scenarios are coming out of this?
Best case scenario, it gets dropped, obviously. I mean, and nothing comes of it, nothing happens. Worst case scenario, charges are pressed. I become a criminal, and I'm removed from office, and I have no career anymore.
Worst case scenario, if that would happen, would it have been worth it to go through all this?
I think so. Not very many people my age get to say that they've experienced something as jaw-dropping as this. And as many issues as we've had, as many arguments as I've been a part of, as many, you know, hot topics of conversation my name has been brought up in, I still have had fun. And it's, I know that sounds crazy, but I do. I love my job. And it's hard and it's challenging and it's exhausting. And I know Ayers said that I'm too nonchalant last night, but I don't feel that emotion has a place in those meetings, but I also feel that, you know, I'm doing the best I can. And I think that's the part that not a lot of people are taking into account. With the information that I had at the time that I had it, I've done the best I can up until this point. So knowing that I've done everything that I could, I'm still going to chalk it up to a good experience. Yeah.
Even in the worst case scenario.
Even in the worst case scenario.
What impact has this had on just family life? I would think, you know, living around the city and having something like this go on would be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, family life, obviously my husband and I have had multiple conversations about it. My kids are still so young that they're not affected by it as much. They still get a kick out of saying mommy's the auditor. Not that they have any idea what that means, but, you know, my oldest is 9, so she gets to say my mom's the city auditor and that's about it. But yeah, it's been tiring. Like last night I got home about 10 o'clock and all my kids were in bed. So this morning we wake up and everybody's like, wait, mom's back. And everybody's excited to see me because they haven't seen me in, you know, over almost 24 hours at that point. But, yeah, it does take a toll on family life for sure.
Now, you say, even in worst case scenario situations at this point, that this would have been a fun experience for you. Most people say, why? Why would this have been a fun experience no matter what? I mean, these meetings and prosecutor involved and resignations and different mayors and things said in the paper and all that mess that goes along with this.
I mean, as many times as I've been talked about or yelled about or yelled at or, you know, anything like that, I've gotten to take the opportunity to stretch my knowledge base, to learn something new, to be a part of something bigger than myself. And I think that's what I hold on to on the days where things just get really, really bad, which they do. But on the days where things get really, really bad, that's what I hold on to, because those are the parts that make it all worth it. Those are the parts that say, you know, I have had a great time. I've made some fantastic relationships throughout this whole thing. I've had the opportunity to meet a ton of different people and be a part of something that is genuinely bigger than me and affects thousands of people. And that makes me feel good.
And if nothing comes of this, you'll continue in the position.
Right.
Yeah. Now, something that doesn't involve you, but just some light you may be able to shed on this, because I received some tips this week, which I am certainly, you're always appreciative for people who are willing to give you tips about what's going on. And again, I'm not saying these things as fact. I'm just, Miranda might be able to help us with some of this here. There is something going on with the wallpapering with a car wrap factory that is not on the credit card statement for the city, I believe is what's being said here. Now, they said I could come to the auditor and figure out what's going on here, but that there might be a known conflict of interest. What is this all about?
So a couple meetings ago, it was mentioned that there were some there's some new signage going up. There's new signage in City Hall. If you walk in, there the doors to all the offices are labeled with new signage. If you go into the service director's office, his office is wrapped in this fancy wallpaper that says "Love Your City" on it. And there's been conversation about vehicle wrapping as well.
Like their own vehicles or city vehicles?
City vehicles.
Okay.
So
just with the city logo on it.
Right.
Love our city.
Yes.
Okay.
As far as I know. I'm not sure exactly whether or not they'd be completely wrapped or if it'd just be similar to what we have now where the logo's on the side with the department underneath it. But that was brought up and there were questions about what the contract looked like, whether or not there was payments already made, how much were the payments and things like that. And so there was a public records request a couple weeks ago following that meeting to get more information. And I had actually gotten the information together and was able to pull it up. So and you can get this all in a public records request, like I said. So there was a contract written up for a total of $23,709.10 with a 50% deposit being required. That 50% deposit was $11,854.55, and that was actually paid on February 2nd. So that is part of it. And then there was a second check for around $2,500, $2,536.05. That one would have been written on or about March 14th, I believe.
Now, council does not appropriate this money, right?
No, I believe that's part of the mayor's budget.
The mayor's budget. Now, who is the mayor alone appropriating that money or in consultation with other people?
Well, it's part of the budget, so it would be approved by council, but it would be part of capital improvement, I believe.
Which the mayor, out of capital improvement,
right,
can just do what he wants.
Essentially.
Now, the issue with this, my understanding is that, what is the conflict of interest here?
I believe the conflict is that no one had approved it. I think that was a big issue with that one in particular. I think there might have been some conflict as well because the design was made by Mike Bodine's personal company that he owns or works for, that RNDR. So the logo was designed by Mike, but under a different name. So I think there might have been some conflict there. That I don't know 100%. But
so the money that's being paid by the mayor out of the capital improvements fund,
mm-hmm.
Who's that being paid to?
That's being paid to the car wrap factory.
The car wrap factory.
Right.
Now, there's no conflict there, right?
That I don't believe so.
Okay. So it's just that the logo was designed by the company that the service director owns.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So has any money went to the service director in this whole?
Not that I've been able to see, but I could be wrong.
Okay. But the people who are doing the work, they have, to your knowledge, have no problem
right.
doing this.
Right.
Okay. So the conflict of interest is that city council was not told. Is that
right.
the issue? And that Mr. Bodine had designed the logo.
Right.
Okay. Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but there's also question, and again, this is not a statement, but there's also some question right now that nearly $6,000 was spent on the safety director's office, possibly by a company that he works with privately. Do we know anything about this at this point?
That one, no. I was looking, and I don't think there's really been any changes to his office. I mean, the safety director's relocated offices, but I don't think there's been any real change to his office. And I wasn't able to find anything about that specifically.
Okay. So at this point, that's just what we've heard.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. We've made some requests to see if that is the case. And why do you think that there is some question of what's going on in City Hall, in the administration at this point?
Well, I think a lot of the question comes from the fact that nobody's really seen or heard anything from Bill. And that's...
And he wasn't there last night.
Right.
And he wasn't there, as my understanding, the meeting before?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Do we know where he was last night? Because I think it was said that Tom Robbins was on vacation, and that was planned.
Right.
And Fire Chief Deem was on vacation, and that was planned.
Right.
But we didn't see Mayor Collins last night, but nobody ever said why.
Right. And I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on there. So I was surprised that he wasn't there, because I was expecting him to be there. I know he was on vacation. I think it was last week. But I, or no, it would have been the week before last week, because I saw him at committee meetings last week. So he has been on vacation recently, but I'm not sure why he wasn't there last night.
Yeah. So there is some confusion here, because I think a lot of questions last night did come up at points during the meeting, and people can listen to it, in which they said, well, we need to ask the mayor. We need to, I think Mark Russell even at one point said, we need to know what did the administration get served this budget, so on and so forth. And nobody could really answer those questions because the mayor was not there.
Right. And that's a good point. I mean, there's a rule that says any legislation has to go through the law director as well as the administration, and they have to have like 24 hours, I think, to look over it before it's passed. So I could be wrong on that citation, so forgive me, because I am not a lawyer. But yeah, and that was specific to the budget. I know the budget was handed out last night, and Mark hadn't had a chance to look at it. I hadn't seen it either, and I'm assuming that Bill hadn't looked at it.
So that whole thing that went on last night, and there again was some discussion on this, whether they could do it or whether they couldn't do it because the administration had not seen it. It seemed as if Mark Russell felt that they couldn't,
right,
advise them not to do that.
Right.
But I think they did it anyway.
Yes.
So there could be trouble there.
Possibly.
Possibly. Nobody seemed to say anything about it. But, of course, who was there to say anything? I think Mr. Bodine was the only one who was there last night.
Right, right.
From the administration. And I don't think he really said anything.
No. He didn't say anything until there. Actually, I don't know if he said anything at all.
I think he just got involved in the discussion about him working for Can-Do.
Yeah.
Now, I know you really don't have anything to do with that, but what is your read on that? Because you've heard it, and we've seen that discussion before.
Right.
Now, it's my understanding, again, that Mr. Bodine is being paid by the city now as the service director, and that he's also being paid by Can-Do to do work for them. I believe he said last night that contract started in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people on council, particularly Ayers Ratliff, who do not like this and have said this before, that essentially the city is paying him twice and this should not be going on. Mr. Bodine says he gets up very early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's when he does work for Can-Do, and he doesn't do it on the city clock, and he uses a separate hard drive, and, you know, the two shall not meet.
Right.
And at this point, we have no reason not to believe him. How do you feel that looks? Because that was, I believe, one of Terry Klein's points last night, that this looks bad.
Right. So while I understand and can sympathize with what they're saying as far as they don't do things on the city clock, the issue that I have with it is that Mike Bodine is salary. So for all intents and purposes, he's always on the clock. So I'm salary, Bill's salary, any of the appointed administration is salary. So that's the problem that I have with it, because while he may get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and not do it during city business hours, he's still the service director at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I understand the separate hard drive. I understand the separate computer. I understand doing it all during off hours. I understand all that, but that's my big issue with it. Now, if they have some way of keeping track of what computer he's doing it on, then maybe that's different. If he can keep track of that, then maybe that's different. But I can see where the issues arise.
Is the city of Marion in financial trouble? Because, again, for people who don't know the inner workings of this, the meeting opened up last night with Ms. Lang, a city council person, basically very angry, upset, however you want to put it, that she feels that the city is losing money, that there's some kind of problem there. And that's why these changes were enacted last night in the 25% budget, and a full budget was passed. So is there a financial problem in the city, just as we don't have enough money to pay the bills that we have?
No, I don't think so. I think we have a good revenue. We have, and Scott Scherzer has said this multiple times. We had good revenue. We have good, you know, good inflows. Our savings is doing well. Our investments are doing well. I don't think we have any issues at all.
So what was that all about last night?
When you look at the plain numbers on a sheet of paper, it looks, it's one, it's intimidating. And two, it does look scary because there's carryovers and things in there. There's things that you have to factor in as far as, grant monies that aren't necessarily budgeted in. There's different pensions that aren't necessarily budgeted in. There's a lot of stuff that you have to keep in mind when you're looking at that. So when you're looking at the full budget, it's a very intimidating document, and it's a very scary, especially when the revenues get added in. It looks very scary, but once you factor in all those other things that you have to worry about, like the grants that come in and pay for a lot of that stuff, or the pensions that are going out, I mean, it evens itself out.
Now, why do you feel there was the panic then, to the degree that other council members agreed to make some pretty drastic changes in the budget? And I believe one of those was limiting payments that came out of capital.
Yes.
Now, does that mean, and it was just, again, I'm listening to this last night because it wasn't on the agenda that we got. Does that mean that anything that the mayor would want to do or anybody else would want to do out of the capital improvements fund would now have to go through council?
Yes.
Why do you think that was done?
So capital equipment and capital improvement are probably two of the biggest line items that we have. I mean, they're very, very heavy, especially when it comes to things like you have to think about the fleets that we own with the police and fire. Their fleets are huge. So capital equipment, especially when we think about fire trucks that have been purchased and ambulances that have been purchased and things like that, those come out of capital equipment. So those are big ticket items that now would have to go before council for approval to actually spend it.
So when it comes to the things that we were talking about earlier, like the wrapping of the cars and the wallpaper, now would this be something, even it's done, so that's what it is, but from now going forward, would that have been something that would have had to go to city council now?
Yes.
Do you believe some of this last night changing that rule had to do with some spending that's going on?
Possibly, and I think there's probably a good portion of it that did. Now, how much of that actually pertains to capital equipment and capital improvement, I don't know. I'd have to look at it. But that would be the next big question.
Now, we have talked about this before, but we talked about it yesterday. And I want you to explain this, because apparently when finance met, the finance committee met a week ago Monday, there were a lot of redactions mm-hmm. on that form, and this was for some cause of concern by several people. Why did those redactions happen, and should they have?
So I think that's the question, is why did those redactions happen? So the first thing we need to do is go back, see exactly what the redactions were, and determine if they were supposed to be redacted at all.
Now, redaction means taken off the record.
Correct.
Before it becomes public knowledge.
Correct.
Okay.
So I believe a lot of the questions are pertaining to the credit card report, and things like account numbers will be taken off, you know, addresses, I think are taken off, things like that. But what we have to do is we have to go back and verify that the redactions were correct. And if they were correct, we have to cite the reason for why they were redacted. So that's the biggest concern. I know there were some employee names that might not have had to do with personnel issues that were redacted that could probably be adjusted. But those were the big concerns, were why were the redactions done in the first place?
Is that normal procedure to have redactions?
On certain items, yes.
But this particular time, there were more than normal. Is that the issue?
I think that's the concern, yeah.
And do we know what... is there anything off the top of your head that you can think that was redacted that you would question?
Not off the top of my head, but again, I'd have to go back and look at the credit card report to really give you an answer on that one.
What is the, I guess, connotation from people who are questioning this?
I was just told that they have questions. I haven't actually heard the questions come from them specifically, but the questions were things like, Oh, I'd have to look them up because I don't.
Right.
I don't have them in front of me. Right. Hold on a second.
But there have definitely been questions from people,
right,
who are a part of this whole matter,
right,
that wonder why these redactions happen, even though redactions do happen, that there were more last time and maybe some that people don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the big thing, is that they have questions surrounding the redactions and they want answers. So, biggest questions. Oh, these are just how you go about requesting public records. Can something be held or withheld from a requester? If so, what are those reasons for why they can be held? Those kinds of things. So not anything, too dramatic or too big, but just wanting to verify that the redactions are being done correctly.
Now, I believe you were at the meeting a few weeks ago when I believe it was Mr. Bodine and Mr. Ratliff got into a little contretemps. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of us who were not there and you saw it firsthand, what happened?
So, if I recall correctly, there were some issues with... Oh, what was that about? I don't remember exactly what it was about, but I do recall that Bodine had said that the only thing that Ayers wanted to do was make trouble for everyone. And it was at that point that President Stoneburner said, okay, I think that's enough. We're not going to take personal shots at people and that kind of thing. Ayers didn't get anything. Ayers didn't say anything back to that other than it was out of line.
So when somebody from the administration says that to a city council person, do you think things like that should be going on?
No, again, I think there's a time and a place for your emotions to get the best of you, and I don't think council is that time or place. Whether it's a committee meeting or a full council meeting, I don't think it's appropriate.
Have you seen in these meetings, because you attend every one of these meetings pretty much, do you think there's a contention between city council and the administration, the new administration?
I think there's contention between certain members of council and the administration.
Is it... As near as you, is it distrust? Is it anger? Is it lack of knowledge? What? Where is this distrust coming from?
I think it's a little bit of everything, honestly. I think, again, a lot of it comes from the fact that when Bill came in as mayor, there were a lot of changes that were made, and nobody had really kind of known about the changes. So there's a little bit of questioning there, but then there's also, you know, little access to what he's got going on in office because he's. He's there, but he's not always there. So I think there's, with the lack of access that people have to him, I think that kind of presents a little bit of an issue.
So on the whole, how do we fix this?
That unfortunately, I don't know. I think that's a question for the mayor.
Okay. And again, we're not sure why he wasn't there last night, but I'm sure there was a logical reason. As to why
he
was not there last night. We just have not heard that yet. When this all settles out, if nothing does happen from the prosecutor's office, what would you like to see going forward?
If it all settles and there's nothing that comes of it, I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say cohabitation. But a little bit more, you know, commingling of working with city council and administration. I'd want to see both teams come together and really focus on what truly is important, which is doing the best for the city. Regardless of how you feel about the person sitting across the aisle from you or across the table from you, I would just want everybody to be able to come together and actually work towards improving what we already have.
Now, just to go back in our last 10 minutes here, because, you know, I want to make sure I have these right, so I'm going to turn away from you. I hate to turn away from a guest here. But the accusations from last night that the payment is being made to the budget and management position without an appropriation,
mm-hmm.
This was one of the things that came up last night, that the service director, we didn't get to this one, but that the service director is being paid $83,000. Council approved a salary of $57,000 to $67,000. Why are these things going on, I guess is the question.
Why are...
The budget manager being paid when apparently she shouldn't be. I think that's counsel's contention.
Right. And that's a good question. Again, last night there was an ordinance that was brought up, and I think there was just a misunderstanding surrounding the actual ordinance itself. I can tell you that I didn't put those funds in there because when the budget was done, I did not add those because at that point, that position wasn't created. So I did not add anything in the budget for that to actually have any movement on it. As far as when she was actually starting to get paid, I think part of the confusion was that when that ordinance was put together for her to actually have the position, I think that was where the issue came in because that was the position creation ordinance, and within that it named the salary. So I'm assuming it was someone in my office that got confused about that and assumed it was an appropriation, which if that's the case, we obviously have an issue there.
Right. So there could be an issue there.
Right.
Okay. We just don't know.
Right.
Okay. Now, as far as the service, the service director, his salary, being paid more than what was actually appropriated.
That, I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I don't have that in front of me.
Now, for people in the city, or for people on council who say, and I think they've said this, that it's the auditor's job to know where the money's coming from and where it's going, and you should be able to answer these questions. What would you say to those people?
There's a lot going in and out of that city, and as much as I'd love to be able to do that, I don't have that answer right now. I can get that answer for you, but I don't have that answer right now.
Now, people last night were saying that they hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say to that?
I mean, they do hear that a lot. I'll be honest, they do hear that a lot. But a lot of the time, it's because they're asking questions that I'm not prepared for. So I don't have the answer right in front of me. If I had gotten the question even 2 hours before the meeting, I would have that answer. So I understand their frustration, but at the same time, and occasionally you'll see me do it. I try not to pick up my cell phone in those meetings because I feel it's disrespectful, but I can access my computer from my cell phone. So like last night when they were asking questions about it, I can try and scroll as fast as I can and get to where I need to on my computer to get that information, but I try not to do that. So if I could just have a little bit of leeway with the questions that they were going to ask, I'd be able to have that information for them. I mean, it's and maybe it could be due to the fact that I don't have a lot of experience in the position. Maybe it's because I don't have a lot of experience looking at the specific things that they're asking for. I don't know. I'm sure it took Kelly a long time to be able to ask those or answer those questions off the fly. I'm sure it took Bob Kramer a lot of time to have the ability to answer those questions off the fly. I would love to be able to do that, and I'm doing my best to get to that point, but I'm just not there yet.
If there is a mispayment going on, and I believe that these people, council members, certainly feel that there is, that the budget director should not have been paid, and she is being paid, and that the service director is being paid more than was actually appropriated for the salary, should there be any consequence for this?
That I don't know. I believe that's if there is, I would assume that would be a council decision.
For people who, if it did happen, what will we chalk that up to?
Human error, I suppose. Because and that's the thing. I think a lot of people are trying to put malicious intent behind something that was an innocent mistake. And it's not, I don't think that there's ever been anything that's gone on in my office that has been malicious at its core. There have been human errors, yes. There have been mistakes, yes. But it's not anything that's done with the pure intent to be evil behind it.
For people, maybe it's not evil. And I don't know. Has anybody ever said that they thought it was malicious?
No, but I think the tone or the connotation that comes with it a lot of the time is that they're trying to make me out to be this malicious, you know, person.
For the people, and I think council has certainly alluded to this, I think they alluded to it last night, if not outright saying it. I don't have the memory or the meeting memorized in my head at this point, but it just say she just doesn't know the position, just doesn't know what she's doing. What do you say to that?
I think I know parts of it.
But you feel it can be straightened out in 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big thing. That's a big goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't have any other option.
Right.
At this point, it's been long enough. And even I'm getting frustrated with myself that I can't answer the questions that they have. So it's do or die at this point.
So at the 6 month point, which would put us at this point in September,
mm-hmm.
okay, if it is not straightened out, if it is not any better, and if nothing comes of the situation with the prosecutor, would you leave the position at that point?
No.
No. And people would say why?
Because at that point, if there's a reason it's not straightened out, it's most likely because it's difficult to learn. And it's not to say that I'm not capable of learning it. It's just that, again, there are learning curves when it comes to this thing. And I'm doing the best with what I have.
Would you ever run for this office again? If you make it that far down the road?
We'll see.
So not ruling it out?
Not ruling it out.
But you would continue in this position?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this earlier in the interview, but with 4 minutes left to go, a lot of people listening to this would say, gee whiz, it sounds like a lot is wrong with the city's finances.
Right.
They've been wrong for a long time.
Right.
Fines are coming in. City council meetings certainly can't be pleasant for you. Being investigated by the prosecutor of the county, who knows what's going to come of that. That why would anybody for any amount of money want to be in that position? That this is not, gee whiz, can go work somewhere else for, right. you know, that type of, I mean, it's not bad money, not right. horrible money in Marion.
Right.
But it's not, you know, it's not $100,000.
Right. I and that's the thing. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the glory or the power or whatever it is that people think that people get into politics for. I make jokes all the time about how I'm not a politician because at deep in my core, I don't feel that I am. But at the end of the day, the reason why I do it is because I feel so much about doing something that's better, that's bigger than me. Being able to say that, yes, I contributed to that. Being able to say that, yes, I helped get that to where it needed to go. That's why I do it.
You know, I think a lot of people, maybe even your worst detractors on council, would have to wonder at some point, with all the questions they're asking and the public information requests and the dust-ups at council and everything I've just described, being investigated by the prosecutor, I wonder what they wonder. Why is she staying in this position when all this bad stuff is happening? Meetings you have to go to, questions that have to be answered. Boy, it's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But I said I was going to do it, so I'm going
to
do it.
Did you ever think about not running for election when you were appointed to this position?
Yeah.
Did you ever think, you know, I could just leave and...
I genuinely didn't start thinking about it until after the election. And I think that's probably the funniest part is I didn't start thinking about it until it got to the point where I couldn't withdraw my candidacy and I realized, well, I'm kind of stuck.
So there was a point where you thought maybe I shouldn't be running for this.
There was a point and it was probably about last summer, but it at that point I was kind of stuck. So.
Do you have a biggest regret? In the time you've been in this office?
Not yet.
No regret?
Not yet.
Okay. Anything you would have done differently?
I probably wouldn't have resigned.
Yeah, that became a thing. But you took that back.
Yep.
And how has that been working with Bill, by the way, since then, the mayor?
Perfectly fine.
Everything's good there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And his administration's?
Administration's fine.
Do you meet with him once a, what was it, a week?
It was once a month, but we haven't had those meetings.
No. Haven't had those meetings. Does he ever come down with any concerns or anything?
He'll come down to ask questions every once in a while, but nothing like too big.
But that relationship is good now.
Yeah.
That's good. Good to hear. So I guess on the whole, when we look at this whole thing, we guess we'll wait for 6 months.
Yep.
We'll see what the prosecutor has to say. And I guess go on from there. But you feel confident, talking to the people you've talked to, that things can be sorted out in six months.
I do. I do.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. As I say, I always do. I think it we've heard back a lot of feedback every time you've been on. I think it's interesting. And people will take from it what they will, but it's the city's finances. Mm-hmm. And I think the people who listen to this program want to know what's going on, because we hear what's going on down there, but, you know, you don't really know. And even when you listen to those meetings firsthand, it's kind of hard to follow if you're not an expert in these fields. So Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis, we thank her for coming in again. And that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
One quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed. And the laugh was, you know, which was...